It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Cigarette smoking in America has dropped a lot over the decades. Under 12% of adults are smokers today. That's down from over 40% back in 1965. But other nicotine products are on the rise in popularity. Nicotine pouches are small tobacco-free products that people put between their gums and cheeks to absorb nicotine. The Food and Drug Administration just announced a review looking at whether those pouches could be marketed as a lower-risk nicotine option compared to things like cigarettes and chewing tobacco. A Wisconsin researcher joins us for a look at the proposal and the latest science on nicotine and tobacco products. Dr. Hasmina Kathuria is director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention and professor of pulmonary and critical care medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Kathuria, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's start with the super basics. These are growing. These pouches are growing in popularity, but most people, I think, haven't encountered them in person. How do they work, and what does somebody do with them?
So nicotine pouches, they're small microfiber pouches, and they contain flavorings, sweeteners, and of course, nicotine. And the nicotine in the pouches are either powder or nicotine salts, and they can be chemically synthesized or extracted from tobacco leaf. However, they don't actually contain the leaf tobacco itself. And basically how they work, people put the pouches in their mouth, usually between the lip and the gum, and saliva moistens the pouch. The nicotine dissolves and is absorbed through the oral tissues, and it gives the user nicotine.
So it is in the family of nicotine delivery vehicles that aren't actually tobacco themselves. So I would put that alongside, I guess, an e-cigarette or vaping device. Again, no tobacco there versus a cigarette or chewing tobacco, which actually has tobacco. Have I got that category sorted out right?
Yeah. So they're considered tobacco products, but absolutely they're not. They don't contain tobacco leaf itself. They're derived from tobacco or from synthetic nicotine. But that's absolutely correct.
All right. Here's the news that had us give you a call. The FDA is looking at, hey, should companies like Zyn that make these pouches be able to market them as lower risk compared to things like cigarettes? With the research so far, fairly new product in the scope of things, what do we know about the relative safety of a pouch versus smoking?
That's a great question. And the way I think about risk, I think about, are these products being used in people who currently smoke cigarettes? So we know cigarettes are the most harmful tobacco product. When you light fire to a cigarette, the combustion releases 7,000 chemicals that the user then inhales. So we know that they're extremely dangerous. So for people who smoke, if they can switch completely to nicotine pouches, where the pouches are absorbed through the process I just described, and they're not inhaled, they're likely safer. On the other hand, if you look at adolescents and young people, people who are naive to any tobacco products, nicotine is very harmful. Nicotine has a lot of health concerns, including brain development. They're highly addictive. The nicotine can harm brain circuits involved in attention, learning, mood. It has cardiovascular toxicity, oral health toxicity, and we can dive into some of that in more detail. So I think it's really important to consider the population that you're talking about.
Right.
Somebody is smoking, switching to nicotine pouches is likely a harm reduction strategy with the knowledge that we know at this time, versus using any product and the risk from nicotine itself in somebody who's never used a tobacco product.
Right. I've been having this conversation with some of your colleagues about this important distinction. If these products, whether it's e-cigarettes or pouches, are an off-ramp from tobacco smoking, that's probably good. If they're an on-ramp from not using any nicotine to using nicotine, that's definitely bad.
Correct. And with the caveat that if it's an off-ramp from somebody who's smoking, it has to be a complete off-ramp. So if you get into this product use where you're stuck in using dual products, cigarettes and e-cigarettes, or even poly tobacco products, cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and pouches, that likely has additive harm. So it's really important in people who are using these products to switch, that they completely switch and they don't get stuck in this pattern of dual or poly tobacco use.
I was just watching a lecture you gave where you talked about this, and it sounds like that dual use, hey, I'm still smoking some cigarettes and I'm using e-cigarettes or pouches or whatever, it's more common than I would have expected.
Yes, it's actually the pattern that is more common than completely switching. And so that additive harm, you know, there's some studies that suggest that cigarettes plus e-cigarettes have, those users have a fourfold higher risk of lung cancer. Of course, it depends how much cigarettes you're using and how many e-cigarettes are being used. So there's a lot of research to be done in that area, but that dual product use is concerning for respiratory health, COPD, for lung cancer. So yes, those are really important considerations when someone's considering using these products as a less harmful product.
Well, you mentioned more research is needed. When it comes to nicotine pouches, what do you have your eye on in particular? What research are you doing or excited to see other people doing?
So one of our really important studies that is ongoing right now, and we're actually recruiting for it until 2029 when the study will be over, is called Options 2. And it's a study that is examining smoking patterns. So it's people who are currently smoking cigarettes. And what this study is doing, it's led by Dr. Megan Piper and Tom Piasecki, is to see what happens if these people are given a nicotine pouch or an FDA-approved NRT mini lozenge.
That's nicotine replacement therapy, NRT?
A nicotine replacement therapy. So what happens when people who smoke are given these products? What happens to their smoking when they're giving the switching trial? And so that's, I think, will give us a lot of knowledge. So if people smoke and are given the option to instead switch to nicotine pouch, do they decrease the number of cigarettes they smoke? Do they completely stop? What is their compensatory behavior? So I think that's a really important study that we're doing in the space of nicotine pouches.
Do we know if people behave differently if they're in a study like that versus in the wild? Like, hey, if I'm in this study and I'm checking in, maybe I'll be more diligent about making sure I'm just using that pouch versus I'm a consumer, I kind of buy what's out there without thinking about it?
Sure. So we know in randomized control trials, which are the trials that give us the most knowledge on patterns of use and switching and stopping cigarettes, people who enter studies may be more motivated because they're enrolling in the study. But I think what's important in this options too is we're enrolling people who are smoking cigarettes and they don't have to have that desire to stop smoking. So we're looking for people in their natural environment, giving products that people are actually using.
How common is the use of these pouches now? I know e-cigarettes kind of went from 0 to 60 really fast. Where are we as far as the market for these things?
It's rapidly increasing. So right now, the most recent estimates we have in youth, and this is from the 2024 data that looked at what is the prevalence of middle and high school students. And right now, current pouch use is about 1.8%, and that's second only to e-cigarettes, which is about 6%. But there's some really concerning trends as well. So amongst 10th to 12th graders, past 30-day pouch use has doubled, so from 1.3% to 2.6%, and lifetime use has increased from 3% to 5.4%. When you look at sales, it's been explosive. So in the U.S., from January 2023 to April 2025, sales of these nicotine pouches increased by over 200%, so 207%. So it's the fastest growing nicotine product category. So that's extremely concerning.
Well, and you went right to statistics about that younger age group, high school, plus or minus. And as I understand it, that's a really important time in determining our nicotine career, right? We're particularly vulnerable to addiction at that stage?
That's absolutely right. So even up until the age of 25, our brain is still developing. And so most people, for instance, who smoke cigarettes during their lifetime started when they were very young, less than 18, less than 15. And so the patterns where we're seeing increase of nicotine products in our young people is very concerning. We're concerned about a lifetime addiction to nicotine products and then potentially to more harmful tobacco products. And that's why it is so critical that our young people don't initiate these products.
We're talking about nicotine pouches, their rising popularity, the health effects, and maybe some changes coming from the FDA with Dr. Hasmina Kathuria, Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention Director here in Wisconsin. Dr. Kathuria, one weird twist with these pouches I'm seeing in the news, the Wall Street Journal reported a month or so ago, some startup technology companies are putting these things out for free. The idea being like, these are good stimulants. It's helping keep people focused. And we're seeing online influencers push these in a similar way. Does this worry you, this message that, hey, not only are these things, according to, I think, the people promoting them, not bad, but actually good and they'll help you be more productive?
It's extremely concerning. The influencers, there's actually a term called Zinfluencers, where people are marketing these products and they're using, you know, flavorings that are attracting youth. And this marketing that it can improve attention, that's very concerning that they're giving these products at work when we have done so much over the last, you know, since the 1960s to really reduce tobacco norms. And the uptake of these products and the marketing offering them at work is markedly concerning.
And do we know, I assume this is early days, do we know, okay, if that 28-year-old tech worker starts using these pouches, do we know what kind of risks there may be to graduating to other forms of nicotine use, including smoking tobacco?
We don't have that evidence yet because they're so new. But in literature for e-cigarettes, there's data that support that people, especially young and youth who initiate e-cigarettes, have an increased likelihood to transitioning to the more harmful tobacco products, to cigarettes, and frankly, to other co-use of substances. So there's literature from other fields. The nicotine in some of these pouches can be very high. So that's something that's concerning. There's nicotine that's in pouches that's marketed as low, so 2 to 4 milligrams per pouch, which is the equivalent of one cigarette. But there's also super strength nicotine pouches that are sold that have levels as high as 20 milligrams, and that's comparable to 20 cigarettes. So just from the sheer amount of nicotine in some of these products, it's very concerning that they will develop nicotine addiction, lifelong nicotine addiction, and transition to other more harmful products.
I want to make sure I just heard you right. That one pouch I put in my mouth, if that was 20 milligrams, that one dose of it is the equivalent amount of nicotine to if I smoked 20 cigarettes in a row?
Yeah, so a 20 milligram nicotine pouch has very high nicotine levels, and reports suggest that they're similar to a pack of cigarettes.
I want to widen things out a little bit and look at a couple groups. First of all, those kids, those young people we're talking about earlier. What do we know evidence-based as the best ways to make sure those kids don't start nicotine use, whether that's lighting up a cigarette or trying the trendy new thing like a pouch?
The best thing to do, I think, you know, breaking it down to policy level, reducing the appeal of these products is critical. So flavor bans. You know, somebody, my 80-year-old patient who has lung disease, and they want to transition off tobacco cigarettes. They've tried the 7 FDA-approved medications, and they can't stop. They're not looking for a bubblegum-flavored nicotine pouch, right? Those flavorings are really marketed to the young people. So important public policy is limiting flavors in all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches. It's also important to online advertising, you know, those the restrictions and enforcement. We have Tobacco 21 federally so that people aren't, you know, shops aren't allowed to sell to our young people, but that's not enforced. So there's a lot of policy efforts to make these products less appealing. I think there's education that's needed. You know, nicotine pouches are discreet. They're different than chewing tobacco, as we talked about earlier, where you need to spit out the tobacco. These products are dissolved, and then at the end of the use, you discard the pouch. And so people are using this, at, as we talked about, at the workforce and schools. And so there needs to be more awareness and education. And parents need to learn more about these products and make sure that there's awareness and they're having conversations about the risk from these products. So I think those are things that are really important. So that's prevention. Once somebody's using these products, we have 7 FDA-approved medications to help people stop smoking. These nicotine pouches are new. There aren't FDA-approved medications for them, but we can use the principles that we've learned from helping people stop smoking and apply them to nicotine pouches. So there's certainly medications that can be used for nicotine addiction, and those are some of the things that we could try. FDA-approved nicotine replacement therapy. So the pouches or the gum or lozenges, as well as varenicline and bupropion, which are available by prescription. So those are some of the treatments. While they're not, they haven't been tested yet and they haven't, they don't have FDA approval for nicotine pouches since this is too early. Certainly those are things that we would try. There's also the 1-800 Quit Line. It's a free resource. Our center runs the Quit Line for the state of Wisconsin, offers free nicotine replacement therapy and counseling. So those are the options for helping with treatment at this time.
Dr. Gathuria, one of the best lessons I heard from a listener who had been working on quitting smoking for a long time was, if you try and it doesn't work the first time, you didn't fail, you took the first step toward quitting. Just because it didn't work the first time, right, people can keep going back and trying, and that third or fifth try might be the one that works?
100%. It's difficult. Now, tobacco, nicotine from tobacco is the most addictive substance that we have. When someone smokes a cigarette, it takes 8 to 10 seconds to reach the brain to give the effects of nicotine. A lifelong addiction for many people. And most people are not successful in stopping tobacco use completely on the first try. And it takes several tries. But each try, you learn on about what works, what doesn't work, and you can apply that knowledge to help in the future. So that's absolutely correct. Just sticking with it and continuing to try. Behavior change is hard.
Dr. Gathuria, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Hasmina Gathuria directs the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. We've been talking about the growing popularity of nicotine pouches and the latest health research.